Who will follow Jesus, standing for the right, holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways, working for the Master, giving him the praise, earnest in his vineyard, honoring his laws, faithful to his counsel, watching for his cause. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in his work of love, leading others to him, lifting prayers above, courage, faithful servant, in his word we see, on our side forever will the Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I.
Please be seated. If you'd like to mark your songbooks, the song of invitation will be number 714.
Before the lesson, I'll be reading from John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Good morning. It is good to see each and every one of you here this morning. It's good to see the new faces that we have in the audience. We are thankful for your presence, your welcome, our honored guests. We welcome you back at any opportunity that you have to come and worship with us again. As the scripture reading was read a moment ago, John 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. What is it to have life more abundantly? What are the component parts of this life? Jesus says it is to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Luke 1 and verse 79. The Apostle Paul says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heavens and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness, Acts 14 and verse 17. James says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, James 1 and verse 17. Paul, speaking to the Athenians on Mars Hill, said, for in him we live and move and have our being, Acts 17 and verse 28. Paul told Timothy, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1, verses 9 through 10. Paul, speaking to the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia, said, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Acts 13 and verse 39. So Christ truly came to bring life more abundant, not in the abundance of the physical things of this life, but in the spiritual things. You see, life is necessary for us to save souls. If any one thing could summarize this life and all that the Bible has to say about this life, it must be what the Apostle Paul says in his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. Listen to this teaching. The Apostle Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, and to be strengthened with his might by the Spirit of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we have asked or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. So as we look at the life, the abundant life, the life more abundant, we have to notice that it is centered in Christ. The Apostle Paul understood this, and so everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, if we are Christians, has to radiate around Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "Even the mystery that hath been hidden from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Colossians 1, verses 26 and verse 27. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Colossians 2 and verse 10. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Colossians 3, verse 16. "As ye have heard, have ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 6 and verse 7. In the book of Philippians, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1 and verse 21. Paul continues to tell the Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be counted equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. The Apostle Paul continues, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Paul is telling us that he is giving up all the physical things of this life so that he can have life more abundant in Christ Jesus. He can have a spiritual life. I believe that he sums it all up in the next passage when he says, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me." Philippians 4 and verse 13. And in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any creature, other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and 37 through 39. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul continues to tell the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. So if we look at a life that is more abundant, we will certainly see that that life is centered in Christ. No wonder that the Bible teaches us, it tells us, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, ye have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2, verses 1 through 2. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4 and verse 14. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John chapter 3 and verse 17. So we can see then, if God had not sent His Son into the world to die on the cross, it would be impossible for us to have a life of more abundant life. The Apostle Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 7. In the last book of the Bible, it says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 5. So all of these passages and many more can teach us that life more abundant is centered in Christ. To sum up this point, listen to the teaching that the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, verses 17 and verse through 19. You see, life more abundant is not a way of life. It is life itself, all made possible by the Prince of Life. If Christ had not sent His Son to die, to come to earth and die on the cross, we would have no hope of a life more abundant. As we notice that a life more abundant, the abundant life, is centered in Christ, we also have to notice that it is based on the Bible. There is nothing that man can say or do that will give us life more abundant. The Apostle Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. The Bible says, what saith the Scriptures? Romans 3, or chapter 4 and verse 3. Jesus says the seed is the word of God. Luke 8 and verse 11. The Savior says you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 15 and verse 3. You see, life more abundant is not based on something that we cannot understand. The Bible says how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby ye, when you read, ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Christians must have the same attitude that the psalmist had. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." If you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 119, we're going to look at a few verses in Psalms chapter 119 that will help get this point across. In Psalms chapter 119 and verse 6, the psalmist says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments." In verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The psalmist says in Psalms 119 verses 15 through 16, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." In verse 46, the psalmist says of Psalms 119, "I will speak of thy testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed." In verse 60 of Psalms 119, the psalmist says, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." In verse 89, the psalmist says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heaven." In verse 97, the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Psalmist says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119, verses 104 and 105. "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." Psalms 119 and verse 130. Psalmist says, "Thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Psalms 119 and verse 160. The psalmist says, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." Psalms 119 and verse 161. Does this sound like the psalmist respected and revered God's word? He sure did. And so must we if we want to have a life more abundant. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, verses 31 and verse 32. So when we learn the truth, this leads us to obeying the truth. Peter says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seeds, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Paul, speaking to the Ephesians about the church, said that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the word, water by the word. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. We are sanctified by the blood of Christ. We are set apart to do the will of God. The Hebrew writer says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. If we do not stay faithful, we could find ourselves falling away. The Apostle Paul says we should take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul, speaking to the Philippians, said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Let's consider what the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, when Paul is speaking about the Bereans. The Bible says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why is that? The Bible tells us because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts 17 and verse 11. Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. One plague, one issue with the church today is that there is a lack of Bible teaching. The Hebrew writer says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And ye are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Even in the church today, some try to hide preaching behind the cross. They do not want to preach on any of the issues that may be dividing the congregation, the church. They want to preach fluff, their opinion. After all, their attitude is that we do not want to offend anybody. We do not want to run anybody off. But the abundant life is based on the Bible, nothing else. The Lord's church needs to be renowned for Bible teaching. Christians used to be known as walking Bibles. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. See, the Bible told the Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach the word when they want to hear it. He was told to preach the word when they did not want to hear it. A few years ago, we went to a gospel meeting in Lindale, and after one of the services, the preacher that was at Lindale, not the one that was holding the gospel meeting, but the one that was at Lindale, was talking to me and Ashley about the lesson that was given to us that evening, and he said that there was too much Bible used in that lesson. He told us that we need to pick out five scriptures and base the whole sermon off five scriptures, and then you can add conjunction. You can add your own stuff to it. What is that? Is that Bible teaching? Just picking five verses and adding your own opinion? What did the Apostle Paul tell Timothy? To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. We need to get our heads in the book of God and study every word, so we may speak those things which are become sound doctrine. Titus 2 and verse 1. Jesus says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12 and verse 48. Let us understand that the abundant life is based on the Bible. But let us also understand and see that the life more abundant, it challenges us to do better. The Hebrew writer says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Hebrews 6, chapter 6 and verse 1. You see, it not only challenges us, but it demands our best. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Matthew 6 and verse 21. The Bible makes it clear we must not be content with our past obediences or our past attainments. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Peter verses chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. Peter continues to say, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It is important for us to understand that a life more abundant will always challenge us to be better, to do better. But sadly, many do not heed that teaching. As newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. But listen to what the Apostle Paul's instruction to Timothy was. Paul said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 and verse 16. A life more abundant will always challenge us to do more, to be better than what we are today. But also notice that a life more abundant has a spiritual emphasis. The Apostle Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also with the works, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. The Bible teaches us that we are to be spiritually minded. Paul told the church at Rome, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. The church at Ephesus was told, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Throughout the New Testament, we are reminded of that spiritual walk that we are to maintain as a child of God. God's word says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and be fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. The book of God, the word of God, continues to say that we are to be rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Paul says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he said, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. The Apostle Paul asked the question, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. So you see, a life that is more abundant has a spiritual emphasis. Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Jesus says, if you were of the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. John chapter 15 and verse 19. You see, we as Christians are to be distinct. We're to be separate. We're to be unique. We're to be the Lord's. The Apostle Paul said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Paul, pleading with those brethren in Rome, said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Probably the saddest verse in the Bible written to Christians. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, and brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk and not with meat. And for hitherto ye were unable to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. The problem with some individuals is that they do not retain the knowledge of God, retain God in their knowledge. Even as they did not like to retain knowledge of God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Paul continues to say, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. It is sad to say, but some that call themselves our brethren do not respect the word of God. They do not respect his word. And they do not show any reverence to God at all. The Bible says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Psalms 89 and verse 7. The psalmist says, continues to say, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Psalms 95, verses 6 and verse 7. There is never a time when reverence and godly fear should be dismissed from the lives of Christians. We must stand in awe of God and sin not, Psalms 4 and verse 4. When the day comes that we fail to stand in awe of God, we will fail to worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4 and verse 24. And we will have forgotten that the life more abundant has a spiritual emphasis. Lastly, notice with me that a life more abundant, is bound for heaven. Paul, speaking to the Colossians, said, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Colossians 1 and verse 5. The only begotten Son said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are there many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus responded and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Paul told the brethren at Corinth, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. John says, "My beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we see him as he is." John chapter 1 John 1 in verse 2. May God help us understand and appreciate the more abundant life that is centered in Christ, that is based on the Bible, that challenges each of us to do better and has a spiritual emphasis and is bound for heaven. The Apostle Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. But before we can enjoy any spiritual blessings that are in Christ, we have to become a child of God. The Apostle Paul says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Jesus says, "For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. The Savior continues to say, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13 and verse 3. We must also confess Christ before men. We have an example of this in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, when the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, he says, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And in verse 37, the Bible tells us that Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And the Bible tells us that the eunuch responded, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And then we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. The Bible continues to tell us in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 38, that Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Paul says, For we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16 and verse 16. If you are subject to the invitation in any way, if you would like to have a life more abundant in Christ Jesus, won't you obey the gospel? Right now, while we stand and sing a song to encourage you.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of why. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Sadly you'll stand if you're unprepared. Trembling you'll fall on your knee, facing the sentence of life or of death. What will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Wash in the blood of the crucified one. He will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?
Thank you, Brother Baker, for that lesson. Forgot to mention who was given the lesson in my announcements before. I apologize for that. We're thankful for our visitors here. I'd like to remind the men that we have a meeting after we are dismissed. And a couple of other announcements. Jenny Ham was involved in a car wreck this week, and she's okay. Want to let everybody know that she's okay, just very sore. And the other parties involved in the wreck were okay also. Everybody walked away from that. So we're happy and thankful for that. And another announcement I have, Mary Ellen is going to be having a surgery Tuesday in Rowlett. They've found some breast cancer, and they're hopefully that everything will be taken care of in that surgery. And she asked for prayers for her on that, so we'll keep her in our prayers and let's not forget the others, Mildred Prince also, and any others that are struggling with health issues at this time. If there are no other announcements, we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this worship service, we want to thank you once again for this day and for the opportunity we have had to meet at this place and study a good portion of your work. I pray that this service has been pleasing to us tonight, and we use these things that we have heard today and use them in our everyday life. God, through the remainder of this week, bring us back in the next morning time without the loss of the moment. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
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 $35 a month. For 12 months, it totals $440.